You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
For those of us who have never met, my name's Derek, and I'm so glad to be with you this morning. I'm a father of three, and they're young, 6, 4, and 7 months, and it is the absolute greatest privilege in my life to be a father. And this morning, we're gonna continue our Prism series that we've been out for a few weeks, and it's been an amazing time unpacking the scriptures together. For those of you that have not been with us, we kicked the series off a few weeks ago called Prism. And the whole thing that we've been trying to do is bring light to this idea that Jesus is the absolute truth, that Jesus is the truth, and that the scriptures are a prism. That the scriptures take the truth of Jesus and they refract into different colors, into different angles of light. And we get glimpses of Jesus. We get glimpses of the truth every time we come to the scriptures. And every time we come to the scriptures, God can speak to us differently, sometimes even through the same passage, same story, same verse. And the fact that God can even speak something different to each of us through the same passage, it's a curious thing. It's an interesting thing. And what we know is that the Word of God is alive, it's active, it's useful for teaching, for correcting, for rebuking, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. We know that the scriptures, they continue to speak to us. And so the goal for us during this series has been to do something different and unique. We have chosen three stories or passages in scripture, and myself, Pastor Mark, and Pastor Shalise have preached on the same passage for 3 weeks in a row to bring different light to the same text. And so we've already done 3 weeks of one passage, and today we kick off a new passage. And so I'm going to give the first kind of chance at making some sense of this. And the passage that we're going to step into this morning is an interesting one because it's about a guy with daddy issues, right? And we know that daddy issues are a real thing. In fact, just this past week at our staff meeting, we were doing some work with the Enneagram, and we were going around the room talking about our numbers and all of that, and talking about our root fears, and we all kind of came back to daddy issues. Like, we all have issues that root back to our dad. And the funny thing is, or the scary thing is that some of us grew up without fathers, myself and Vaughn and Mark and Gil, and almost all of our staff. There's a trend with us. But some grew up with fantastic fathers, amazing, present, active fathers in their life. And no matter what, everybody's got these daddy issues. And so I just hope that's really comforting to you dads in the room. Like, no matter what you do, your kids are going to end up with daddy issues. And the same is true for this guy. His name's Jacob. And he's got daddy issues. He's got a dad who loves him. He's active and present in his life. But his daddy issues are that he actually had a favorite son and it wasn't him. It's the scriptures say that Esau, his brother, was his dad's favorite, and he was more of a mama's boy. And so he's got these daddy issues, and even from the womb, he came out looking for this approval from his father. And he wanted his father's blessing. He wanted his father, he wanted the birthright. And so the passage that we enter into, it's all a consequence of his own selfishness. It's a consequence of his own need and his own issues. Let's get into it. Genesis 28. Verse 10, it says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. Now, the reason he left is because his brother wants to kill him, right? His brother is going to wait for his dad to die, and then he's going to murder him. And his mom catches wind of this, and she says, go, get out of here. And he's going to kill him because he really messed him up twice. He stole his birthright with a bowl of soup, and he stole his blessing by being deceitful to his father. And so he's on the run. He's leaving town. He's left Beersheba, and he's on his way to Haran. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. When he had had a dream, which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angel of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. And I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. And you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early in the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. And then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on the journey I'm taking and will give me food and to eat and clothes to wear so that I will return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God and the stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. And so we have this story. It's often referred to as Jacob's ladder or Jacob's stairway, or in the words of Led Zeppelin, stairway to heaven. This is a dream. It's a weird kind of story that sometimes we don't know what to do with it. But it's this moment where Jacob, who's on the run, he has an encounter with God through a dream. Some say it's through a vision. Some say it's through psychosis. Some say, who knows what it is. But he has this experience and this encounter with God with some weird things. Some stairways and angels and why'd he sleep on a stone? That was a bad call. I think that's why he had a weird dream. He's running for his life. He's fleeing. And all of a sudden, he's having this encounter, this experience with God. And as I was kind of pondering this and looking through the prism of the scriptures and trying to see where these can drive us back to the truth of Jesus, I came up with a couple observations. In fact, it's six of them. Don't worry, they're not long. But there's kind of six things that God spoke to me through this that I drew out. And I want to share them this morning because I think they may be helpful to you. The first thing that I pulled out of this story is this idea that most rewards in life are based off of our performance, right? We know that to be true. If we want something, we have to work hard for it. If we want to get somewhere, we've got to do something. But it is not the case with God. In fact, what I pull out of this is that God's promises, plans, and provisions have nothing to do with our performance. God's promises, plans, and provisions have nothing to do with our performance. Now, this is a hard thing to get our heads around. And I know that many of you have been tracking with me, and you guys have been so kind. I'm at work. In the last several months, I've been studying for the captain's exam at work and taking the test and waiting forever to hear the results. And I just found out a couple weeks ago that I passed the captain's exam. And thank you. So I'm bringing the stash back so I could look the part. Some of you can't see it from the back, but it's here. If our lighting was better, you'd be able to see it. But you know, this is almost our experience through all of life, right? You want to get something, you've got to do something. You got to work hard. This is the American way. So everything in the fiber of us says if you want to get somewhere or have something for yourself, you got to work for it. You got to work really hard. And sometimes we work really hard and it doesn't play out for us. It was a very real fear of mine that I wasn't successful and that all the time that I had put into that, it would have been all for nothing. But this is not the way of God. And I can't wonder if Jacob wondered if his stolen blessing was actually going to be a blessing. Now, what we didn't read is the part where he stole his brother's birthright through a bowl of soup, and then he stole his brother's blessing by covering himself up in skin and fooling his blind dad and doing this crazy stuff. And he stole this blessing. And his father actually, even once he knew that he had deceived him, he still gave him the blessing. And I can't help but wonder if he wondered if the blessing was actually a blessing, if it was actually for him. Have you ever felt like that? Like sometimes a blessing comes your way and you're not actually quite sure if it's a blessing. Sometimes it's because you're not quite sure if you deserved it, or sometimes you don't know if it actually is. Like the ability to grow this like beautiful mustache. It's a blessing, right? Like God has given me the follicles to do this. But sometimes I'm not sure if it's a blessing, right? Or actually, what happened when I found out that I passed the captain's exam and I opened the thing and I was so stoked, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, now I have to like be a captain. Like the responsibility of that actually is it truly a blessing? Or like you try, you want to have kids, you wait till that point in life, and then you get pregnant, and you're like, oh, we're going to have kids. Don't worry, Joff and Patrick, it's amazing. But sometimes these blessings come our way, and we're not actually sure if they're blessings at all. And it's in this passage that God reveals himself to Jacob. It's in this encounter that he has with God through this dream that God reveals to himself that the blessing of his grandfather and of his father that was passed on to him is actually here to stay. It's for good. This is a blessing that not only his father spoke over him, but the God of the universe is now speaking over him. And he tells him that your descendants will be many. This land will be yours. And you will be a blessing. In fact, he says all people will be blessed through you. And I wonder how much fear and terror there was when he realized that God actually had plans for him. Plans bigger than he even deserved to be used for. He knew that he'd already stolen and deceived. He knew that he was already the greedy, selfish brother. Yet God is still choosing to use him. We see in verse 13, he says, the Lord stood above and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. And then he proceeds to tell him, you're going to be blessed and the people will be blessed because of you. And this is the very moment, this is the first moment where Jacob had an actual encounter with God for himself. See, up until then, God was only the God of Abraham. He was only the God of Isaac. We throw that around all the time, right? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But at this juncture, at this point in the story, he is not the God of Jacob yet. Jacob had not experienced God. He had not encountered God. He had not chosen to faithfully respond to what God was calling him into. At this point in the story, he's only the God of Abraham and of Isaac. And this is the first moment, the first encounter that he has with the living God. And I wonder how many times we become so, especially fathers in the room or parents or father figures in the room, we are so worried and concerned about our children that our God would become their God. And we do everything we can in our power and might, and we try. We try to model it. We try to teach them. We try to do these things. We have kids' church in the back, and you can hear them through the wall. And we do all of these things so that our kids can encounter God. But the reality is God will only be their God once they have an encounter and an experience with him and choose to follow him. And so I think for you fathers in the room, part of the release that we have to experience is that even our performance as fathers has no guarantee as to whether or not our kids will end up having our God become their God. And I do believe that God will reveal himself, that God does reveal himself. And it's in those moments when he does that we have a chance to respond. We have an opportunity to make the God of our father, or the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of us. I think so many times we can get into this funk and into this mindset that it always comes back to performance. And so we perform, and we think that God will bless our performance and give us what we want. And we think sometimes the blessings are the result of our performance, or vice versa, the blessings are not coming because of our performance. And I think about even this gift, this blessing that I've had about becoming a father. Like, I didn't earn it or deserve, I mean, I like did what it took to have a child, but there's no guarantees, right? There's no guarantees. There's no guarantee that blessing will be my blessing. And I think so many times we think that we need to be qualified for that to happen. I tell you what, none of us are qualified to have children. If they had a class that you had to pass before you had children, we would all fail. I mean, what is the criteria? Like, did you have to be a good kid? I wasn't. Do you have to be like an okay person? I fail all the time. But God has given me this blessing of being a father, and it is not anything I did to deserve on my own. And the same is true for those of you who cannot have children. It is not because of a lack of your performance. That God will give his blessings to those in the way he so chooses to give those blessings. And it is not tied to our merit. It is not tied to our performance. And over and over and over again, we see through the scriptures and even here that God chooses to work his plans out through imperfect people. That God will use the imperfect person to carry forth his plans and his provisions and his promises, not only to yourself, but to others. And then I see here in this story, and there's this amazing metaphor that's happening here with the stairway. In fact, it's a juxtaposition, or it's a contradiction to this other tower that was built called the Tower of Babel. See, the Tower of Babel was an attempt by us humans to try to get to God. But the stairway is actually an inversion of that. It's an upside down version of that, that God actually chose to bring the stairway from heaven down to earth. See, the tower is built by our own might, by our own merit, and it always fails. But the stairway is God's attempt to bring heaven and earth together, to bring him and us together. And the metaphor of the stairway is about God's search for us, not about our search for God. And I think we must realize that we can get into the habit and into the discipline of building towers. We can try to build towers all the time. We do it all the time. And it isn't always about what you do, it's about why you're doing it. All of those spiritual disciplines that we can implement and practice at times in our lives, whether it's praying or reading or going to church, going to community group, serving people, giving money, whatever it is that you might do, it isn't about what you're doing, but it's about why you're doing it. Is it a tower that you're trying to build so that you can get to God, so that your performance can give you merit in the eyes of God? Or is it because the stairway of God has descended to us and he has found a way to us and he's shaped us and he's changed us into becoming someone who would actually give back because of what God has done for us? I think it's so important for us to take a look at the structure in front of us and be able to determine if it's a tower or a stairway. The other insight that I got is that the stairway has a name. The stairway has a name. I love this idea that all scripture points to Jesus, that Jesus is the absolute truth, and all scriptures were pointed there. All scriptures should be viewed through the lens of Jesus. And when you look at the scriptures that way, these dreams and these weird prophecies and all these things that don't make sense, they begin to make sense, because you can see that even in John chapter 1, verse 51, Jesus himself says, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So what Jesus is doing is he's pointing to himself and he's fulfilling this prophecy, and he's saying, that stairway that Jacob saw, that was me. The stairway that Jacob saw, that was me. The angels descending on me. I am the pathway. I am the one who God sent. I am the very one who brought heaven to earth. I love the song that we just sang. It said, "You didn't want heaven without us, so you brought heaven down." The way he did that is he sent his son named Jesus. The stairway has a name. Its name is Jesus. See, Jesus presents himself at the reality to which the ladder points. See, Jacob saw in a dream a staircase. We get to see Jesus. See, Jacob saw what God would do to reach down to us. And he would send his son named Jesus. Jesus is the ladder. And here's the cool part of it. The cool part of it is that this whole provision, this whole experience, this whole dream that Jacob had, it wasn't just about him. The third point is, it's not your blessing. It's not your blessing. I think so many times we can look at the blessings that come our way, and once we even begin to accept them or receive them, once we can get our heads around that God would even bring something our way that we didn't deserve, what we can do then is we can latch onto it. And we could say, hashtag blessed. And we could say, this blessing, God, thank you. And we can grab it, and we can hold it, and we can own it, we can sit on it, we can keep it to ourselves. But this whole passage is about saying, Jacob, I'm going to bless you so that all peoples can be blessed. I'm going to bless you so that all peoples can be blessed. Now, I know if you just kind of hone in on little fragments of the story of God, it is confusing. You go, if you look at the Old Testament, if you look at how God chose a people, you go, God, why would you be exclusive? Why would you choose Israel? Why would you choose the Jewish people to be your people, the children of God? What about us? And then you fast forward to the New Testament. You go, it's not just about them. It's about all of us. What God is doing in this overarching narrative is that God had chosen a people who would produce a person who would then bring all people back to himself. That person, his name is Jesus. He's a descendant of Jacob. Jesus is one of those specks of dust that God promised Jacob. He said, your descendants will be as many as the dust in the ground. And Jesus is a descendant of Jacob. So God produced a people who produced a person who would bring all people back to himself. We see in the New Testament that Jesus didn't just come to be the Messiah of the Jewish people. He came to be the Messiah of all people. Has it ever occurred to you that your blessings aren't just for you? Well, what if we changed hashtag blessed to hashtag bless you? And it's not talking about a sneeze. Like, what if instead of becoming a recipient of blessings, we became a conduit of blessings? Well, what if instead of grabbing blessings all for ourselves, we became that conduit and blessings didn't come to us, but they flowed through us? That's exactly what it means to be the people of God, to be the church, to be his participants in his kingdom. Point number four. Our awareness has no bearing on his presence. Our awareness has no bearing on his presence. I love the song that we just sang. Always before us, always with us, always in us. We can become so fooled into thinking that the place we encountered God is the only place God resides. We become fooled to think that the way that we encountered God can be the only way that we can continue to encounter God. And what do? We take that stone and we set up a pillar and we pour oil on it and we say, that is the gateway to heaven. That is the house of God. This way of doing church, that's the way that God moves. That way of thinking, that ideology, that theological interpretation, that is the way that God moves. And what we can do is we can leave that and think that we have to come back to that to experience God again. This is the mistake that Jacob made. It says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Have that ever happened to you? Like God is with you the whole time and you didn't know it. God is up to something the whole time and you didn't know it till you were through it. It's as cheesy as the old footprints in the sand thing, which actually still makes me kind of tear up when you think about it, because it's so profound. It's so easy to think sometimes that God is in it if it's beautiful, or that God is in it if things are going well, that God is in it if there's signs and symptoms of God at work. But it's in those desperate moments, those moments where you're on the run for your life, your brother's about to kill you, you have no idea where you're going, you're leaving everything that you've ever known into a foreign land with people you don't know. What he doesn't know, he's going to find a woman who he falls in love with, and he makes a deal with her dad that he's going to spend 7 years working for her, and then he's going to screw him over and he's going to have to work 7 more years again. He has no idea that that part's coming. He has no clue. And so he's in this desolate, desperate place. In fact, he said the sun had already set. It was dark. He was already tired. He hadn't even gotten very far. And he lays down with a stone for a pillow. He has this encounter with God, and he gets up and he says, God was in this place, and I didn't know it. That's the first step. The first moment when you realize, wow, God is here. It's incredible. When you realize, oh, that was God. It's an amazing insight to step into. But the danger that can happen is you could do what he did, and you could build a monument, and you could memorialize that moment, and you can walk away from the very presence of God thinking that Bethel is over there instead of here. See, what the scriptures say is that the kingdom of God is within you, that the Holy Spirit, that your body is a temple, that the Spirit of God resides in you if you are in Christ, that everywhere you go, God is with you. See, Bethel isn't here or there. Bethel's everywhere. If you have the Spirit of God, of the living God inside of you, we are never without God. Our awareness has no bearing on his presence. Just because we can't see it or sense it doesn't mean that God isn't there. In fact, I love how Psalm 34, even in verse 18, it says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. You ever been there? Brokenhearted, going, where is God? And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's good news. The good news is that God isn't only, we don't only recognize God at work when things are going well, but it's often in those times where we're crushed in spirit that we actually turn to God, and sometimes for the first time realize that God is even there with us. And God is with us in the lows, he's in the highs, he's in the valleys, he's in the mountaintops. Bethel isn't here or there, it's everywhere. He says this in 17, he said, he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and he set it up as a pillar and he poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. He just renamed it. This is the house of God. And in fact, if you look throughout the rest of the Old Testament, there's about 26 other times where that significant spot is talked about. This is the place God was. Until all of a sudden, it shifted to the Holy of Holies and the temple in Jerusalem. And that space began to fade and became insignificant and obsolete. And I wonder what would happen for us if we stopped memorializing and giving monuments to those one moments where God moved in our life and we recognized it. And we start realizing that God is at work all the time, even when we don't see it. That Bethel is here, that God is with us. And then we get to the end of it all, which I find to be the most fascinating. And the last insight that I want to talk about is deal or no deal. It's not the stupid game show. It's this transaction that takes place after this whole experience that Jacob has. In verse 20, it says, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on the journey I'm taking and will give me food and eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. Do you see how ridiculous this is? Do you see how much us this is? If God does this, 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 and this, then you will be my God. God, if you'll just do this, I'll follow you forever. You ever been there? You ever done that? I do it all the time. God, just, I did it opening the stupid envelope to my captain's results. God, just please let the first line say congratulations. If it does, I promise I'll grow my mustache back. See, God works, man. God is with us everywhere. He says, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give to you a tenth. This is where tithing comes from. This is what it means to give back to God out of gratitude. But what would happen if our gratitude came inside of and even outside of God doing the things we expect him to do or want him to do? I think so many times we put these parameters on God. God, would you just do this, 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 or this? And when God doesn't do it, we think he didn't bless us. We think God isn't there with us. We think Bethel's over there. We think God isn't alive and active and moving if he doesn't do it our way. And here he is making a deal with God. God, if you'll give me food to eat and place to sleep and clothes to wear and a Ferrari and all the other stuff that I really need to do your work, I'll let you be my God. And I love that God is God no matter what. And this is the funny part. See, Jacob thinks he's like in this moment. He thinks he's like giving all of himself to God. I'll give you a tenth. I'll follow you. I'll let you bless all peoples through me. He thinks he's in right now. But if you fast forward, you realize that later on, he gets in a full-blown wrestling match with God. He hasn't fully given himself up yet to the work of God. He hasn't fully given himself up to the will of God. He's still struggling. He's still bartering. He's still trying to make deals with God. He's even trying to beat God up later on in the story. And I wonder for us this morning, how many of us find ourselves in this place? How many of us can maybe see ourselves first as being those who just completely miss the presence of God? We find ourselves saying, God was in this place and I didn't know it. God was in this place and I didn't know it. I believe there are some of you here this morning, and that is your truth. God is alive, he's active, he's moving, he's blessing you, he's giving you provision, he's got a plan and a purpose and promises for you, and you just are not aware of it this morning. My prayer for you is that you become aware this morning. Others of you in the room, you're here and you've been making deals with God. God, if you'll just do this, I'll follow you. God, if you just do this, I'll do this. And we find ourselves bartering with God, making deals with God. And if that's you this morning, my prayer for you is that you would know that God is God regardless of whatever deal you make with him. And that God will choose to bless you however he so pleases, with or without good or positive performance. But maybe you're here this morning and you have found yourself where Jacob finds himself later, and you're just wrestling with God. It says that Jacob wrestled all night and he didn't even know it was God until he got put into like a sleeper hold. Then he realized, oh, it's God. And I believe some of you here are, you're here this morning and you've been wrestling with God. You've maybe bumped into him. Maybe you've walked with him at one point in your life and you're just wrestling. And what ends up happening is Jacob gets to this place in his life where he gets overpowered. He gets overcome. He submits to the power of God. And God continues to move throughout his life. And we are even standing here today talking about Jesus because of his response to that. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to pray for you this morning. Hey, if you're in that place and you would identify with those who are just missing the presence of God, like you can't sense God. You can't sense him, but you want to. You'd love to be the person saying, God was in this place and I didn't know it. If that's you, if you just raise your hand, I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand up and go, God, I just need to be made more aware of your presence. Amen. If you're here this morning and you find yourself being the person making deals with God, God, I'll follow you if you do this. In fact, you're still waiting for God to come through on that thing you asked of him, and then you'll follow through on your end of the deal. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Say, I've been making deals with God. Awesome. And maybe you're here this morning and you are the type of person who you've just been wrestling with God. You didn't even know it. Maybe it just dawned on you. Oh my gosh, I've been wrestling with God. I've been running from him. I've been hiding from him. I've been wrestling. If that's you, just raise your hand. You feel like you've been wrestling with God. Amen. And maybe you're here this morning and this is all new to you. You don't even really quite comprehend exactly what we're even talking about, but you sense that God is moving this morning and you want to respond to that. You want to step closer. You want to inquire more. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Amen. God, we thank you, Lord, for every person in this room. We thank you for every hand raised. God, you know exactly where we are. God, I pray, Lord, for those who are just unaware of your presence, God, that right now this morning, God, even in this moment, in this next song, God, that you would just overwhelm them with your presence, God, that they would be made aware of your presence, that your Holy Spirit would move mightily through this place, God, and it would be undeniable God, that you are good, that you are alive, that you are active, that you are present, God, and that your love for them is greater than anything they could ever experience. God, I pray for those who have been bartering with you, dealing with you, God, making deals, Lord. I just pray this morning, God, that they would realize that you are God, that you are almighty, that you are all-powerful, God, that you have blessings for them regardless of their performance, and that, God, you're going to bless them how you so choose. You got to pray for those who have been wrestling with you, God. Just help them give up. Just give up the fight. Submit, God, their lives to you. Lord, for those in the room, God, who are just curious about you, God, they're not even quite sure what you're all about, but they're curious. They want to step closer, God. They want to get closer to the fire. I got to pray, Lord, that you'd open their heart. Yeah, that they would step closer to you and begin to walk in a life, God, where you become their God. So if that's you this morning and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you might not even know quite what that means, but you want to step closer, just say a simple prayer like this. Jesus, I want to know you. Come into my heart. Forgive me and give me life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.